Now on the Chris Smith Show, telling it like it is with Andrew Bolt. Thanks to HomeSafe Wealth Release. Change nothing, change everything. 1300 306 059.
Andrew Bolt, how are you?
What a pleasure to speak to you, mate.
Indeed, the election that keeps on going.
Oh, for heaven's sake. you stopped yourself, didn't you? You were going to say the election that keeps on giving. I think it keeps on taking. The election that keeps on taking.
No, it's taking. You're right about that. Absolutely. Here we are, fourth day of counting. Mind you, I know this is a little bit like I should have been talking about this yesterday, but how is it the Electoral Commission has a day off on Sundays? They only got to do this once every 3 years.
I agree with you. Well, they claim they didn't have a day off, that they did other sort of counting and they were checking, cross-checking stuff with absentee ballots. But really, this is unacceptable. I was looking at the marginal seat counting as of, it might have changed in the last 10 minutes, but around lunchtime, midday, and there'd be no updates in about four or five of the key seats that are still undecided. No updates since last night. And I think, you know, there's only a government to form. And meanwhile, you know, the country's drifting badly. In fact, I think this will be almost situation normal for the next 3 years if the parliament lasts that long. I noticed that Standard and Poor's has just said, listen, guys, you're on a warning.
Yep,
if you don't cut some spending, you know, get that balance, that budget closer to balance over the next 3 years, we're going to downgrade you. And what that means, of course, is that interest rates on all this massive debt we've piled up since Kevin Rudd went mad will increase, and we'll have to pay billions more. We already pay $1 billion a month in interest. That's going to be even more, and that's money we can't have for hospitals and all that. We are in a crisis. We need action. We need firm government, but we've still got... We don't even know who the government is, for a start. And when we do get it, we know it's going to face a Senate that's going to actually say no to all the spending cuts that the rating agencies, plus, of course, the economists, say are essential to save the country. I don't think many people realise this frog and boiling water stuff.
Yeah.
This country is in slow decline. And in fact, for the last 2 years, this should be a scandal. In the last 2 years, our living standards have actually declined over 2 years. And they will continue to decline or stagnate for years to come unless we finally realise the world does not owe us a living. Money does not fall from the skies. All this mining boom and the money that did seem to fall from the skies under the Howard government has finished. And you really have to roll your sleeves up, take some medicine, take some cuts, otherwise we are stuffed.
As you're saying, conditions declining, and we're not used to that. It hasn't happened since World War II. The age of entitlement, as the phrase keeps being said.
But it's even worse than you said. Yeah. Everything you say is absolutely correct. And I'll add this. We have had this coming off the biggest mining boom in this country's history, with the maybe the exception of the gold rushes in the 1860s.
Yes.
The biggest mining boom. How could we have possibly run out of money so fast after that? It is scandalous. And the reason we did it is that we just ate our future. We kept thinking the money would come again.
Yep.
We would just slap it on the credit card. Something would turn up. No, folks, something is not turning up. What is turning up? The bailiffs. What is turning up is reality here of a parliament that will not cut the spending to match our income.
How alarming is this JSW research study? Not only that 40% of people actually bought the Mediscare campaign, but what I find even more alarming is that 23% of people, quite frankly, don't give a stuff. They haven't decided what they're doing until they roll up on the day.
Well, it's hard to tell. I mean, one of these things, the scare is the last people remember, perhaps when they go into a polling booth. But a lot of people voted before the scare took off.
Mm.
The Liberal Party vote went up for the first week or two of the scare. So how big was it? And three, it's within a context. You know, people make up their minds about this or that. The fact is that you had Malcolm Turnbull for 3 weeks at the end of the election campaign saying, no, I'm not going to touch Medicare, even though he had, in fact, announced promises to, back in February, to privatise some of Medicare. So that wasn't quite true. people listened to him and didn't believe him. And I think it was actually a metaphor for something wider. No, I don't think many people seriously think Medicare as a whole would be privatised, but a lot of Australians have seen their living standards not rise over 2 years, and in fact, in many cases, fall, and think they're pinched. It's a metaphor for cost of living, about they can't afford bills to go up if they need the doctor. In fact, they can't afford lots of bills to go up, like electricity bills, which is why Turnbull was an idiot not to run on the carbon tax that Labor's promising, that bills would in fact go up. You see, people are hurting. And to, you know, that's why that message of Turnbull's didn't resonate about agile and innovative. They didn't want agile and innovative. That's a code for you're going to lose your job.
Well, I mean, Medicare was just that. There wasn't a lot of foundation to what Bill Shorten said. But on the other hand, Turnbull did make a mistake when he said you won't pay more to go to the doctor, because he only has control of the rebate. He doesn't have control of what the doctor charges.
And in fact, see, all these things are metaphors. Most people don't know exactly the policy this, the policy that. What they do know is it's harder to pay the bills when they go down to the supermarket.
They're lived experience.
Now, when Malcolm Turnbull was saying all that stuff, the fact, plain fact is, he has frozen, again, the Medicare rebate offered to doctors, and that in turn puts pressure on doctors who haven't had an increase in that rebate for, what is it, 4 years now? Nearly 4 years? They actually have to absorb all their cost increases since, because their costs go up, or they pass them on to their patients, or they work even harder. Now, something's got to give. And so Malcolm Turnbull could say that all he likes, but the fact is your bills at the doctors may well go up.
That's true. I wanted to get your take also, and I know you wrote in your article about this morning, your column, about the rise of One Nation. I think it's caught pretty much everybody off guard, at least the extent to which Pauline Hanson's had a comeback, but also how that dovetails into the issue of Islam.
Well, exactly right. And I think that's one of the other issues in the election campaign that the Prime Minister got so terribly wrong. He turned down an invitation to go and see the installation of the new Roman Catholic Bishop of Parramatta, who had a fantastic story, Vietnamese boat person. So I would have thought, you know, go there and fly the flag and you could do your, you know, inclusive bit and all that, and terrific. He turned that down. Instead, he held an iftar dinner, end of Ramadan dinner, for Muslim clerics and you know, celebrity Muslims like Waleed Ali, who's an apologist for, you know, basically extremism. He, you know, oh, no, don't, no, Christianity's just as bad, or the West actually caused that kind of stuff. So he did that in the middle of an election campaign. Now, I think a lot of Australians looking at that and seeing the kind of characters he had there, like Sheikh Shady, who thinks, you know, adulterers should be stoned, who thinks gays are wicked people spreading toxic diseases, who think that Christmas parties are satanic celebrations that Muslims should avoid, who preaches that the Australian government is against Muslims, all that kind of thing. And he had his other apologist, the Grand Mufti of Australia, who said the Paris attacks were the fault, you know, the causative factors were what the West was doing to Muslims. No, it wasn't. It was Islam and what it inspired Muslims to do to the West. He had them as guests. And can you, you know, I can totally get why so many Australians think this bloke's not listening. We're worried about Islam. And there's the Prime Minister in an election campaign holding an iftar dinner for these characters. And then when one of them turns out to be the leader of the National Council of Imams, all the Muslim preachers, and he says all these terrible things that Sheikh Shady, there's Turnbull making excuses, saying, oh, it's only one guy. No, it's not one guy. It's the guy that represents all the preachers. He doesn't get it. And so what do they do? Well, they vote for Pauline Hanson, nearly three senators maybe in the Senate. You know, is it any wonder? I mean, when will the political class, and I include journalists, many journalists, get it through their thick skull that screaming abuse at Australians, oh, you're racist, closing down debates, no, don't talk about Islam, attacking instead Christianity, which is a founding faith of this country, that does not work. One, it's in denial, and two, you're patronising and demonising Australians who want answers, who deserve answers, and if you don't give them, They'll go to someone who will at least raise those questions. Pauline Hanson is a huge beneficiary, and she could be there for a long time.
Indeed. Thanks for that. We'll talk next time.
Pleasure.
Andrew Bolt at 10.